Open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews, the fifth chapter. Hebrews chapter 5, page 1295 in your Schofield Bible. We'll be reading just the ninth verse of the fifth chapter. And then we'll turn to another passage also in the book of Hebrews. For now, the ninth verse of the fifth chapter. We'll read that together. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Then let's read. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Turn now to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, page 1303 in your Schofield Bible. And we'll be reading the first two verses. Likewise, we'll read these verses in unison. Let's read. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And let's pray. Father, what a delight to be here this evening. We're thankful for all that has so far transpired. It's been worth coming to church just for what's already happened. But, of course, we have so much more ahead of us. How we thank you for the preaching, for the faithful preaching of thy book. And for Brother Hiles and how so very much he means to us, to our church and our church family. We pray for your help tonight, for him, for us. And help us to give the seriousness of thought and help us to be deliberate in our hearing and doing of thy word in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hope you listen on purpose tonight. I will not use much of the tool of humor, if any, in my sermon, nor will I use the tool of longevity. I'm not a Roy Moffitt. I just preach till I preached all that I know, and tonight I will not hold you for long, I assure you. I want to speak tonight on the subject, Jesus, the author. Jesus, the author. I want you to sit up straight. I want you to get your minds off everything else. You young people, sit up straight. Look right this way. You college students, do your courting later on, but not now. No talking. Everyone listening. I want to speak on Jesus, the author. We read a while ago that he is the author of our salvation. We read a while ago that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, when you talk about the faith in the Bible, you're talking about all of the basic fundamental truths necessary for salvation. The body of faith. The virgin birth is a part of the faith. The sinless life is a part of the faith. The vicarious death is the part of the faith. The bodily resurrection is a part of the faith. All those things were necessary. It's called the faith. Jude said the faith once delivered to the saints. And tonight I want to speak to you on Jesus, the author. And I could call it the author and finisher of our faith. Listen carefully. Father, I want to be a blessing. That's all I want to be. Tonight I hope we'll revel in the glorious gospel of Christ. And I hope tonight that we'll swim and bathe in the sea of your love for us. Speak to us tonight and do something real to all of our hearts, please. Amen. Did you ever wonder whose idea the plan of salvation was? You see, the Godhead existed always. God said in Genesis, let us make man in our image. Jesus said, Father, restore to me the joy that I had with thee before the world was. Ever wonder who thought up the plan of salvation? It was Jesus, the second person in the Trinity. He's the author of our salvation. He's the author of our faith. Hebrews 5:9, he became the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews 12:2, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Let me read for you, without your turning to it, a passage that, and I want you to listen carefully as I read it. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him, that's Jesus, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So Jesus authored this amazing plan of salvation. It was the second person of the Godhead. It was the person who was the sacrifice, who was the one who authored the plan that made necessary the sacrifice. It is explained so beautifully, as I said a while ago, in Hebrews 2:17-18. It behooved him, one, to be made like his brethren. It behooved him, two, to be tempted. It behooved him to go to Calvary. It behooved him to be our priest at the right hand of the Father. It behooved him to make our faith necessary. Now listen carefully. Let me tell you what happened as I think it happened. I was not there, though I almost was, but I was not there. But let me tell you what I think happened. I think this is what happened. God made a race of people for fellowship with himself. May I say what I've said so often? The purpose of your existence, listen to me, I'm preaching to you now. Listen to me, no talking. I said, God made a people for fellowship with himself. God did not save you to keep you from going to hell. God saved you to go to heaven, but so you could praise for the praise of his glory. If you're not fellowshipping with God, then you're a failure in life, because God made you for fellowship with himself. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield? How much have you talked with him today? Have you fulfilled the purpose of your existence today, for example? I said, God made a race of people for fellowship with himself. God gave those people a choice. He did not want robots to have to love him. He wanted people to choose to love him. Oh, no walking around the back now. Everybody find your places, please, and sit down. He wanted people to choose. And so God gave us a will, and he gave us a choice to love him or not to love him, to serve him or not to serve him, to fellowship with him or not to fellowship with him. So I said, number one, in our way of introduction, God made a people for fellowship with himself. I said, number two, God gave them a choice. Number three, this they did. For how long? I do not know. How long did Adam and Eve fellowship in the Garden of Eden before the serpent came and before they transgressed the law of God? I don't know how long, but this for a time they did. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden enjoyed fellowship with God for a certain season. I do not know the length. One day, temptation came and they yielded. Now listen carefully to me. God's holiness is his outstanding attribute. The justice and righteousness of God is his outstanding attribute. God let the whole world go to hell before he'll take anybody to heaven unjustly. And so God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. The wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so God, being a just God, when Adam and Eve sinned, there was no other choice but for death to follow. And so that fellowship was broken, and when man yielded to the tempter. Now then, enter, please, no walking around now. Everybody have a seat now. Enter Jesus Christ. Let me go back again. I said, God made you for fellowship with himself. God made man for the praise of his glory. Man enjoyed that fellowship for a season, and then because the tempter came and man yielded, that fellowship was broken. And God, who had fellowship with man, had to turn his back on man, because God is holy and cannot fellowship with sin. Enter Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what I think happened. Jesus came and said, Father, I have a plan. Don't leave me now. I have a plan. I have an idea. Father, I know that you made man for fellowship with yourself.
I know that fellowship was broken and man is separated from you. And if he dies in that condition, he'll have to go to hell. But Father, I have an idea. I have a plan. Hence, Jesus becomes the author of our salvation. He becomes the author of our faith, if you please. Now, exactly what is this plan, Jesus? Jesus continues to talk and says something like this. Father, I'll go to the earth. I'll be born of a virgin mother. And by the way, if he was not born of a virgin mother, all of us are lost on our way to hell. I'll be born of a virgin mother. Father, I have a plan whereby broken fellowship can be restored between you and your creation. I have a plan whereby you can receive them back. So I'll go to the earth. I'll be born of a virgin mother. I'll live there for 33 years. Now, Father, here's my plan. Don't leave me. Here's my plan, Father. I'll be on the earth for 33 years. I'll be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I'll be hated by my own people, crucified by my own creatures, misunderstood by my own family, expelled from my own synagogue, and betrayed by my own familiar friend. So, Father, let me go to earth, and I'll be born of a virgin. Father, I'll be in all points tempted like man. But, Father, I will resist that temptation. Nothing makes me any madder than for some idiot who calls himself a theologian to talk about the sins of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, he was a lamb without blemish. A lamb without blemish. And so he said, Father, I will resist that temptation. I will live without sin. Now this author continues to express the plan that he has authored. And he says, Father, I will live without sin. And that means I won't owe the sin debt. For the wages of sin is death. If I don't sin, I won't owe the debt. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. If I don't sin, I will not owe the debt. So, Father, here's my plan. I will be born of a virgin mother. I will live on the earth for 33 years. I will be tempted in all points like man. I'll resist that temptation. I will live without sin. So I will not owe the sin debt. Father, this is my plan, as the Trinity met in the foreordinate council. And I will pay. And Father, I will not owe the sin debt, so I'll be betrayed by one of my own. Now, Father, here's my plan. I'll be wrongly indicted. I'll be wrongly tried. I'll be wrongly convicted. I'll be wrongly punished. Father, I will be crucified. Can you imagine how the Father must have felt? Can you imagine how he who is love must have felt when his only son was suggesting that he go to Calvary? And by the way, don't you ever get adjusted to the fact that Jesus suffered on the cross for you. Don't you ever take for granted the fact that Jesus paid it all. The Son of God, the darling of heaven, the perfect Lamb of God without blemish, went to Calvary, a king with no throne but a cross, and no crown but a crown of thorns, and no scepter but a barbed walking stick, and no royal robe but a soldier's overcoat, and no subjects but a jeering mob saying, "Crucify him." I'm saying, never get used to saying, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame." Jesus said, this author continues to tell us what he had offered, "Father, I will be crucified." Now, Father, according to my plan, I will place on my record the sins of all the people of the world. I will record their sins against my record, glory to God. And Jesus said, "Then I will then dip into the torments of hell and pay man's price for sin." No, it's not the sacrament you take at the Holy Catholic Church. No, it's not confession of your sins to a fellow who has enough sins of his own. No, it's not your baptism. It's Jesus paid the entire payment and penalty for your sin. So the author continues to tell what he's offered. He said, not only will I come to earth, be born of a virgin, live on the earth 33 years, in all points be tempted like man, resist that temptation, live without sin, not owe the sin debt, be betrayed by one of my own, be wrongly indicted, wrongly tried, wrongly convicted, and wrongly punished, and crucified, but he said, I will place man's sins against my record. Then I will dip in the torments of hell and pay man's price for sin. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God Jesus suffered your hell and my hell. How dare you not give him your best? How dare you not be here Wednesday night for Bible study? How dare you rob God of the 10%? How dare you live like the world and dress like the world and talk like the world and sing like the world? You're the object and recipient of love like man has never known before. God loves you. And Jesus went to Calvary and suffered your hell in your place. Father, let me continue to tell you about the plan I've authored, the author of our salvation. I'll be in the grave 3 days and three nights, Father. Now here's the rest of my plan, Father. After 3 days and three nights, I'll overcome death, hell, and the grave, and I'll rise victoriously from the grave. I continue, Father, explaining the plan that I've authored. I will die, be buried, be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, and then I'll rise from the dead. Now, Father, I continue telling you the plan that I've offered. I will then come back up here where you are, Father, and I'll sprinkle my blood on Calvary, from Calvary, on the mercy seat in heaven. Now you listen to me, folks. Don't you believe the John MacArthur crowd when they tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ, don't worry about it. Good night, I preached a lot worse than this. And don't you listen to that crowd when they said the blood of Jesus Christ may be at the foot of Calvary. Bless God, tonight the same blood that was shed 2,000 is on the mercy seat in the very presence of my God. And God looks at it day after day and all the time and sees the blood of his Son. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The author of our salvation continues to explain this plan that he's offered. Father, I'll dip my soul into hell and pay the penalty for the sins of man. And I'll be in the grave 3 days and three nights, and then I'll rise from the grave. Then, Father, I'll come to back up here where we are, and I'll sprinkle my blood on your mercy seat. And then, Father, I'll sit down on your right hand just to keep on reminding you that the price has been paid. I'll be the intercessor for Jack Hiles. I'll be the intercessor for Jack Scott. I'll be the intercessor for Ed Lapina. I'll be the intercessor for everybody who's trusted me as their Savior. Now, Father, this is the plan that I've offered. And then, if any fallen man, hear me carefully, if any fallen man will accept me and my plan, you then can receive him back, Father, and be just. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason baptism can't save you is because that doesn't satisfy the justice of a holy God. The reason Holy Communion can't save you is it doesn't satisfy the justice of God. God said, I'll not send a person to heaven. I'll let the whole world go to hell unless my justice can be satisfied. But hallelujah, on Calvary, his justice was satisfied. And then he said, Fathers, I continue to tell you about the plan of salvation I've authored. If any fallen man will accept me and my plan, you can then receive him back and still be just. And then, Father, you can blot his out of your book. And then, Father, there will be no need to record his future sins either. Did you hear what I said? And then, Father, according to my plan, you will cast them in the deepest sea. And then, Father, according to my plan, you'll put their sins behind your back. And then, Father, according to my plan, they'll be separated from you as far as the east is from the west. And according to my plan, Father, you can forget that he sinned, and you can declare him justified as if he had never sinned at all. What a plan! What a plan! What a plan he offered! What a salvation he offered! Amazing grace, how sweet the sound! He said, then, Father, we will have all who accept this plan tell it to others. See what I said? Oh, so far you've loved the plan, haven't you? It's gotten you out of hell and on your way to heaven. It's got your sins blotted out, but that's not all the plan. The plan must be told. The plan must be spread. And so Jesus said, as the author of our faith, Jesus said, Father, all of those, I said, all of those, not just the preacher, not just the staff, not just the deacons, all of those not just the college students, not just the high school soul winning club, all of those, he said, accept this plan, we'll tell it to others. He continued to explain the plan that he offered to the Heavenly Father. He said, then, Father, we will send the Holy Spirit here to convince people of this plan and to help people as they spread this plan to make folks believe it. Then he said, Father, why don't we just build each one a little place up here so you can fellowship with them forever someday. Father, I'll make that place a mansion with streets of gold and gates of pearl. And we'll not allow any sin to enter into the mansion. When you get them up here, Father, and they fellowship with you, there'll be no cancer up here. There'll be no heart attacks up here. There'll be no leukemia up here. Be no influenza up here. Be no pneumonia up here. There be no adult bookstores up here. Be no Hollywood up here. There be no rock music up here. There be no indecent dress up here. There be no cursing up here. There be no envy up here. In fact, no sin will ever enter this place. He continues to explain the plan that he authored. He said, then we'll put this in a book, so that book can tell about my plan. Because some people, as they tell that plan, might forget a part of it, so we'll just put it in a book. And Father, we'll preserve that book to all generations. And Father, anybody that adds to that book or takes away from that book, there'll be a special plague on them and a special curse on them and punishment for them. And Father, as long as there's a man, that book will not change. He continues to explain and describe the plan that he's authored. He said, Father, you set the date. You just set, no need to tell me, you just set the date. Let me know when. I'll go back, get them, bring them up here where I am. Those that have died, Father, who've accepted the plan, I'll raise them from the dead. Here's what I'll do, Father. I'll have an archangel shout. I'll have a trumpet play. I'll have the dead in me rise first. And then those who trusted me who are still living shall join them and be caught up in the air. And then, Father, they can forever be with you. And then, Father, the purpose of their existence can be restored for eternity because you made this race to the praise of your glory. And now they can praise you all the time forever. Jesus says, what do you think, Father? What do you think? The Heavenly Father reluctantly, but of necessity, says, I accept that plan that you've authored, Jesus, because there is no other way. There is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby you must be saved. So the Heavenly Father had no other choice. Now, if whoever offered the plan that you've got to keep the Sabbath day to be saved has got the wrong plan. That's not Jesus' plan. Jesus' plan is that He would satisfy the holiness and righteousness of a just God by paying the penalty for the sins of man, so His credit could be placed to man's debit and we could have our sins blotted out of heaven's book. So the Heavenly Father, I think, said, go ahead, son. Go ahead. It's the only thing we can do. I don't want to see you suffer. I don't want to turn my back on you when you're on the cross of Calvary. But it's the only plan. It's the only way. So, Jesus, who was the author of our salvation, became the finisher of our salvation. He thought of the plan. But the plan was Him. So He who authored our salvation became the finisher of our salvation. He did come to earth, thank God. He was born a virgin, hallelujah. He did live for 33 years, praise the Lord. He was in all points tempted as we, praise His name. He did resist that temptation, glory to God. He did live without sin. He did not owe the sin debt. He was betrayed by one of His own. He was wrongly indicted. He was wrongly tried. He was wrongly convicted. He was wrongly punished. He did go to Calvary. He was crucified. Not only did he author this wonderful plan, but he carried out this wonderful plan. He's the author and the finisher of our salvation. Thank God he did put our sins on his record. He did dip into the torments of hell to pay my sin debt. He did stay in the grave 3 days and three nights. He did rise from the dead, a conqueror over Satan, death, and hell. He did go back to heaven and sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat. He did sit down on the right hand of the Father. He will save any person. Hear me? He will save any person. Hear me? He will save any person who receives him as Savior. The Father will blot out your sins. He will refuse to record future sins. He will cast them in the deepest sea. He will put your sins behind his back. He will separate your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. He will forget that you have sinned. Hallelujah. He will declare you justified as if you had never sinned at all. He will then command you to tell others. He will then command you to tell others. He will tell those who are redeemed to tell those who are not redeemed how they too can be redeemed. He will send the Holy Spirit to convince people as you tell others. He will build a home in heaven. He did put it in a book. It's called the King James Bible. He is coming back to get us. You can enjoy being restored. You can enjoy fellowship with God as he originally intended on heaven and on earth. And someday, praise God, forever and ever and ever and ever, you and God can have that fellowship restored that was broken in the Garden of Eden. Thank God tonight. He's the author of our salvation. But praise his name, he's the finisher of our salvation also. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain, I just count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, a thorns compose so rich a crown? Where the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, and my all. Because he, Jesus, authored my salvation, carried it out, and on the cross of Calvary shouted so all could hear, "It is finished," the author and the finisher of my salvation.